Blog Talk Radio.
Call a neighbor, call a friend,
let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. I am the host and speaker of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And today we thank God for the Word of God that came to bring illumination, to bring a greater understanding, to enlighten you that you can hear what thus says the Word of God. Today we're going to be speaking from the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to be speaking from that 7th chapter, beginning at that first verse. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for the shekel, and the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but shall not eat thereof. When we want to say to you this morning that God's word is everlasting word that we can rely on and that we can depend on. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for the word of God on this morning. And God, we pray, God, that every ear will hear what you are saying to them on today from your word. Father, let the word of God be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And thy word, how we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast, and we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. I'm here to teach and to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. When we look at 2 Kings, we see as the Lord God is speaking through the prophet, his prophet Elisha. And Elisha was speaking to the king, and he was speaking as the king's servant had leaned upon him. Actually, when we began to look at this first verse, it says, then Elisha said, hear you the word of the Lord. In other words, it's time to hear what God's word is saying. He wanted them to hear what, not what he was saying, but he wanted them to hear what God was saying. It's an important thing that we hear what God is saying to us in these last days. He said to them, thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. See, they could not understand. They could not see. They could not perceive that God was going to do this great thing because they were in famine. They were in a time when that many people were going hungry. They was at the point of starvation. It was at that point where a mother was making a deal with another mother. You bore your son. They were so hungry. You bore your son, and we're going to eat that son. And then the next day, you'll eat my son. So we see that this was a time wherein that they were starving, and they were hungry, and the people were at their wit's end. But yet, the word of God to know what was going to happen. But there are always people that do not believe what God is saying to them. They don't believe it because of unbelief, because of doubt, because of the fact that they don't have faith to believe God or what God is saying to them at that very time. And those things that will come into their lives if they be disobedient unto him, unto the living and the true God. But the word of God says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of faith. And there is nothing too hard for God. So when we look at the word of God on today, we see that he is letting them know how costly it was going to be and how they're going to be able, how that the measure of fine flour going to be sold for a shekel and the two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned, in order he leaned on him, he supported him, whether or not it was in the natural or whether or not that he was in supporting him or he depended upon him. It says that this same Lord that whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but shall not eat thereof. So when we see the word of God, when we see what God is doing in the word of God, when we see the hand of God being manifested, we see that these people, they were about to hear from God. The thing about hearing from God, you got to be obedient to God, and you got to hear what God is saying to you. So therefore, he didn't believe what God was saying to him. He didn't believe that what the prophet was saying to him. So therefore, when we began to look at the word of God, God heard what the Lord said. And I'm not talking about the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about the Lord that the king had, the king hired, the king supported, the king that depend on. So therefore, when he said this to the man of God, the man of God said to him, and he said, behold, you shall see. In other words, you're going to see what I said is going to come to pass. You're going to see what I just said to you with your own eyes, but you're not going to eat of what is going to come to pass. You're not going to be able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And then we look on that third verse, and it reads, and there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, in the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they arose in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. But for the Lord
had made the hosts of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. I want you to hear this because it is God. I want you to see the miraculous. I want you to see the power of God. I want you to see that there is nothing too hard for God. I want you to know that what God says, he is able to perform it. And what God says through his word, we have to pay special attention to what he is saying to us this day in this hour. And they had to believe God for the things that were going to happen in their lives. But we were talking about unbelievers. We were talking about unbelievers. We were talking about people that did not know the will of God, people that did not want to take heed to the word of God. The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to have faith to believe God. We have to have faith to stand on the word of God. We have to have faith to walk in his presence and to be able to enjoy the things of God. So when we look at the word of God, when we look at the power of God, when we look at what God has done in our lives, we see the power of God being manifested in this day and this hour. We see God. We see him moving in the power, in his spirit, and by his anointing. We see how God is speaking to the men of God. He is speaking to the people that he was about to show them his power, his anointing. He was speaking to them and trying to let them see what he was about to do. And they were in unbelief. They didn't want to believe. They did not want to believe what God was saying to him. But then we began to look at the word of God, when we began to look at the four leper men who had entered into the gate, as the word says, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? They were already lepers. They knew that leprosy was, as you know, is a bad skin disease, things that people have when they have leprosy, their toes can fall off. They bodies the blood stop circulating in some parts of their body, and it stops getting blood to certain areas. And therefore, when the blood is not circulating in certain parts of the body, then that can cause that person to lose the control of their hands or whatever part it, that the blood has stopped circulating in. And that disease that they had encountered was a one that could be debilitating. So when we look at the word of God, we see God, we see him of having to, we see God having to deal with the leprous men, the men that was in a state of leprosy. The word of God tell us that there was four leprous men, and they was at the entering of the gate. We know that when a person had leprosy, usually they could not be around other people. They set them apart, and they was in a place among other people that had the same type of disease. It's just like when a person has chicken pox or measles or something I want you to try to relate to they don't have them usually. That's the other person in some condition have had experience chicken pox or measles, then they're immune sometimes to the same thing. But this was a little different, a lot different, I would say, than what the chicken pox or the measles, what they was experiencing. So when we look at the Word of God, when we look at God, we see that God has manifested himself, and he has spoken through the prophet. Now we're looking at how the leprous men that was in the gate and how they were talking one to another. And they're saying, why sit we here until we die? Why wait? Why should we starve? Why should we die here? Why should we sit here and wait and die? It was a decision that they had to make. They said, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. They knew it was a famine in the city. They knew that there were people that was lacking of food. They knew that the people were going hungry. But why should we sit here until we die? Why should we continue in the same thing day after day? Why should we do this? So what they are saying, they made up their mind, why should we do this until we die? Now, therefore, let us fall to the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the uttermost parts of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. So therefore, we know that God is God. And yes, I hear you. Yes, I hear you speaking. And I believe that God is God, and yes, God is God all by himself. And the Word of God says he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask of faith. So when we see that they're saying, they're talking among themselves, why should we sit here? Why should we sit here until we die? He said, therefore, let us fall to the host of Assyria. Let us go. We need to get something to eat. We need to not just sit here and die. We need to make some kind of effort and not just sit here and not just die and don't make any kind of effort whatsoever. They decided that we're going to go to the Syrians. And if they save us alive, then we're going to live. But if they kill us, oh, well, we're going to die. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost parts of the camp of the Syrians, there was no man there. The Word of God tells us it wasn't anybody there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of great hosts. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. So when we look at God, what God did, don't tell me that God cannot move on our behalf. Don't tell me that God cannot fight battles for us. Don't tell me that God is not able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask of faith. Don't tell me that there is that there are things that are too hard for God. Look what God did. Look what happened when those four lepers, when they decided to get up, when they decided not to be complacent, when they decided not to just wait to die, when they decided to get up and go and to take care of matters and see how they can get something to eat and how they can go. They decided, I'm going to go into the camp of the enemy. I'm going to go into the Syrians. And if they let us live, then we're going to live. But if we die, we just going to die. But look, when they had faith to believe God, that's what I'm talking about this morning. Just in case you didn't get it, just in case you don't understand what I'm saying this morning, that it takes our faith to believe God. God rewards our faith. God rewards when we walk in faith and power and of the anointing. By the mouth of God, by the word of God, we see that the Syrians, how God moved upon the Assyrians, and the Lord caused them to hear a noise of chariots. Come on, what would you do if you hear the voice of the sound rather of chariots in that time and the noise of horses, because they had horses, they had chariots in order to get around. Well, they thought that this was the enemy coming against them. They heard the noise of a great host. They thought that was the army coming against them. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites." And they thought that the kings of the Egyptians had came against them. But God made it seem like it wasn't so, that these people, the Hittites, and the Egyptian had came against them, but God caused the noises for in their ears so they could believe that a host was coming against them. And they got so afraid until they left everything, almost everything that they had, because of fear, because of the fact that they knew that in their hearts they thought that the enemy was coming, that the Israelites that had hired somebody to come against them. Look at God. It wasn't what the real thing was happening. It sounded like into the ears of all of the Assyrians. And they thought that they were being invaded. They thought people were coming against them. Oh, I'm sure I hear this great host. Yes, I'm sure I hear the noise of the chariot and the noise of the horses. So they're thinking the best thing that we're going to do, the best thing for us to do is to get out of here, to get up and get out of here for our lives. It doesn't matter what we need, no matter what's left, but we're going to get up and we're going to get out of here. Therefore, they fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and the asses, even the camp as it was. Whatever they were cooking, no matter what they were baking, no matter what they were doing, they left it and they fled for their life. Come on, look at God. Look at God. We must know that the battle does not belong to us, but the battle belongs unto God. And the word tells us when these lepers, the lepers that could have been still sitting where they were sitting, where they were sitting at, they could have been waiting there to die. They could have just been talking to one another like, this is going to be the end. I wonder when it's going to happen. I wonder when we're going to starve to death. I wonder how many more days we got left. I wonder if we're going to survive this. I wonder if somebody's going to come and have mercy and save us. No, they didn't do that. They got up, and they decided that we're going to go into the camp of the Syrians. God, I believe it was just a setup from God. Don't you know that God will cause things to happen in our lives? And sometimes we don't know how God is going to move in our behalf. Sometimes we don't know how God is going to fight battles for us. But we got to know that the battle does not belong to us, but the battle belongs to God. And God is well able to fight every battle. So when the leprous man, the man that was diseased, the man that had the skin disease, the man that was separated from other people, God used them to go into the camp of the Syrians. They used them to go in there. When they got inside of the camp of the Syrians, they found that it was nobody, no human that was there. Nobody was there. And when they found out that no living person was there, not that they were dead, it was because they fled. Because God made them fled. God made them believe that it was that the army, that the host of people was coming against them, because they heard of the sound of the horses. They heard of the chariots coming. And so they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came in the 8th verse to the uttermost part, which was on the outskirts of the camp, they went into one of the tents, and you know what happened? They began to eat and to drink. Come on now. If they would have stayed where they were, they would not have been able to eat. They wasn't able to drink. But when they got up, when they made up their mind, when they had faith to believe God, that God was going to bring us out with a strong hand and a strength out of. They didn't know how God was going to do it. They didn't know what was going to happen. But the main thing it was that they got up and they stood on the word of God, and they went into the camp, and they were able to eat, and they were able to drink. And know what happened? They carried from that camp, that what was in the camp was silver. The word saying was silver and gold. The Lord called the enemy to leave everything they had that was important. Their food, they left their, they had gold there in that camp. They had silver in that camp. They had their clothing in that camp. And when the lepers seen what was left there, as I said, they began to eat, they began to drink. They carried from that camp the silver and the gold, and they hid it. And then they came again and entered into another tent and carried there also and went and hid it. And they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we hold our peace, if we carry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. And now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." They can never decide, let the king know what's going on. We're going to let the king know. Because, you know, the king, I wasn't sure that they were hungry, and they were. They were in a famine. The people needed some food. The people needed something to drink. The people needed to be taken care of. But the king, they were stagnated. They was in one place. They wasn't able, didn't have faith to move and to believe God, that God was going to take care of them. See, in this day and this hour, we got to believe that God will take care of us, no matter what the situation. No matter what we're going through in life, we got to believe that God will take care of us. But they decided we're going to the king. We're going to get word to the king. So therefore, they went to the porter. These were the gatekeepers. And they let the gatekeepers know what was happening in the Syrian camp. In other words, there was no man there. There was no man. They left all of their goods, and they wasn't anyone there. So they called the porter. They told it to the king's house within, and the king arose in the night and said to his servant, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. This is what the king's talking about. Listen to him. We know that they know that we hungry. In other words, they know we don't have any food. They know we're in a famine. They had the food. We don't have any food. But yet, they knew that they were hungry. That's what the king said. And the king was thinking, here he said, therefore, they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get to the city. In other words, they knew. That's what they thought. They knew something. That's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Sometimes we can think that we know so much. Sometimes we can think that we got the answer. But we don't have the answer. The king thought that he knew what was going on, but he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that God had already moved on their behalf, and that God already had called the sound of those chariots, and God had already had called the enemy, the Syrian, to hear not only the chariots, but the sound of horses as well. And the Syrians, they were gone. The enemy was gone. And yet, he's thinking, after the leper men that got the letter, got the word to the porters, which were the gatekeepers, they thinking that, hey, these Syrians, they're on the outskirts. They're waiting. They're hiding. So when we come into the camp, they're going to come out, and they're, in other words, they're going to fight against them. They're going to try to apprehend them. They're going to try to come against them. But that was not what it was all about. So we need to, the Bible says, in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. This king thought he knew what was going on, but God had already caused them to be blessed, and he didn't even know the blessings that was upon him. He didn't know that what the leper men who would have thought that it was going to be the leper men, that was that only outcast, those people that they didn't want other people around. Who would have known that these people were going to be brave enough? Who would have known whether these people would have faith enough to believe God and to go forth and to go into the camp of the Syrians? And when they got there, and I believe it was a setup from God, because when they got there, when they made up their mind that they were going to do this, that I'm tired of sitting here, I'm tired of just waiting, I'm tired of, I'm hungry, and if I have to go into the camp and of the Syrians in order to get me something to eat, I'm going to go into the camp. And if they give us something to eat, well, and if they don't, and they kill us, well, is that what they're going to have to do? Because we have made up our mind. And God wants the people of God to make up their mind that they're going to trust him, and that they're going to depend on him, and that they're going to rely upon him, and that they're going to hear him speak unto them. And they're going to hear the voice of God and not the voice of a stranger. There are many voices that are in the world today, but they are not the voices of God. So here we see that the king thought that the enemy was going to come and going to destroy them. Although he had heard good news, I can understand his position. I can understand him wanting to make sure that the king, that the enemy was not going to trick them to come, but yet God was setting them up. I believe God was showing, he's already shown the leopard man's faith. He's given them faith just to get up. Sometimes that's all it takes. Get up. Believe God. Walk in faith. Walk in his anointing. Believe God for what he is saying to us. Believe God and do what he says for us to do. And when he went into the
the camp, and when they went into the camp, we see that the leper men were able to be truly, positively, absolutely blessed. And when we read that 13th verse of the 7th chapter of 2 Kings, and one of the servants asked and said, let some take, I pray you, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all the multitudes of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even all the multitudes of Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see. And they took, therefore, 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of Assyria, saying, go and see. Now the king is going to have them to go, see what's going on here, see whether this is true, see whether or not is the Assyrians gone, see if they're trying to trick us, go and find out. And then they went after them to Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments, as they began to, the enemy, come on, don't tell me what God is not going to take for the enemy. Don't tell me what God is not going to give to his people, his righteous people. But David said, I'm young, but now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I mean, the enemy was trying to get out there so fast, so serious. They was trying to get out there so fast that the men of God, the Israelites, the people that the king had sent, they found on their way full of vessels of full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. They knew that they were trying to get away from the enemy. But God was blessing his people all the time. When they thought they were loaded down, when they thought they had so much to carry, and they think that was kind of keeping them from making haste and getting up and getting out of there, yet he was blessing the people because everything that they were leaving, everything that they were dropping on the way, trying to get out, yet these are going to be for God's people. And the messenger returned and then told the king, and the people went out and spoiled the tent of Assyria. In other words, they were plundered. So remember, at the beginning of the Word of God in the 7th chapter, which we are reading from on today and teaching from, remember how the prophet Elisha had told the Lord that the king was leaning on his hand, and he was trying to say something smart. And remember, I want to read that where it says in that 2nd verse, and the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He's a question, right? And he said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Look what God did. Now, you have to be careful how you talk to the prophet of God. You have to be careful how you talk to the man of God or the woman of God. You have to be careful how you talk to God. Mouthpiece. Look what happened to the same person. God didn't forget what he said. God did not forget what he said. And look what happened to this man that was trying to perform. This is what the word says. And the people went out and spoiled the tent of Assyria. So a measure of the fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have a charge over the gate. Listen where I'm coming from. Listen what I'm saying. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died at the as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. Look at what God did. God let him say he was going to see it. The man of God told him, you're going to see it. But you are not going to be able to taste it. You're not going to be able in order to enjoy it. You're not going to be able to have what God is about to do. Why? Because you're going to die. And that's what happened. The people were so happy to get into the gate
They were so happy to get some food. They were so happy to get any clothing. Until when they got to where they were going, they tried it. She was supposed to be the keeper of the gate. And they just, you know, when you ever been to Walmart, Kmart, when they have these midnight sales, and they open the door, well, you can imagine what happened to this man. He was in the way, and he got trotted down, and he didn't live, but he died. Be careful what you say to the man or the woman of God. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gates of Samaria. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, now, behold, if the Lord should make a window in heaven, might such a thing be? He's doubting God. He's doubting the power of God. He's not having faith in God. He's not believing God. And he said, behold, this is the prophet saying, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat thereof. Many people don't see God. Come on, with the eyes. The Bible says, every eye shall see him. Every eye, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. But the lives of the people, those that are not following him, those that have not been obedient to him, they're going to see, but they are not going to be able to reap the benefits. They're not going to be able to be saved because of the fact that they didn't believe God. When a person believes God, you're going to walk according to the word of God. When a person believes God, they're going to walk by faith and not by sight. When a person believes God, they're going to walk according to the scripture, according to the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. Because when you take heed to the word of God, then we're going to live and not going to die. When we begin to do our own thing, then only, like this man, he did not see what he thought that everybody else sees. Everybody else got the pleasure of enjoying the food and the wine and whatever they had, the drink, whatever they had to drink. But this man who did not believe God, as it was prophesied that he was going to see, was not going to be able to partake. And the word of God said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but shall not eat thereof. You're not going to eat any of this. You're not going to taste any of this. Why? Because you doubt it. Come on. I feel this thing this morning. You got to believe God. God honors faith. I would like to leave you with five nuggets. We must have faith in God. Number one is faith moves God. Our faithfulness is rewarded. God is going to reward our faithfulness. And another thing is that God will deliver you if you allow him to deliver you. He delivered the Israelites from the Syrians. He delivered them, and he rewarded them, and he fed them, and he took care of them. And you got to know that God is your strength. You want to say that this morning, that God is my strength. He is my very present help in the time of trouble. And the last is, God cannot fail. And that's something that we need to know today, that God cannot fail. When man fail us, it's not God failing us. When we have trust him, when we have believed him, when we have stood upon his word, because the word of God for heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or one tip of the word going to fail. When we can rely on him, when we can trust him, and we can stand upon his word, It's not going to fail. God did not fail the Israelites. God came across. God moved in a miraculous way. God called the Syrians to think that they were being invaded. They weren't being invaded, but God made them feel like they were going to be, that they were being invaded. It wasn't so. But yet God made them believe that this was happening in order to get them out of the way, in order to take what belongs to God's people. Come on. He did it. And don't you think, and don't you know, that in the day and the time that we're living in today, the word of God says he's the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. You have been listening to the Our Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please join us on the next appointed time as God begins to speak to us the word of God. And I believe that God is going to change your life. As a matter of fact, stand on the word of God like never before and believe God, because he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Again, may God bless and keep you. Is